Chapter 41. A gunshot rang out. Morgan jerked at the hips, suddenly thrown off balance. He spun gracelessly and fell to the ground. I stared at him in shock. Morgan let out a snarl, fixed his eyes on me, and lifted his right hand, deep and terrifying power gathering in it. "Morgan!" snapped a woman's voice. That voice rang with authority and confidence, with command. The speaker damn well knew that when she gave an order, that it would be obeyed, and imbued the command with a power that had nothing to do with magic. "Stand down!" Morgan froze for an instant and glanced over his shoulder. Ramirez stood 20 feet away, his pistol smoking in his hand. The other arm was supporting the weight of the girl I had known as the corpse taker. The girl's face was as pale as death, and she could not possibly have been standing on her own. But though her features were exactly the same as when Corpse Taker had been in the body, she did not look like the same person. Her eyes were narrowed and hard, and her expression was filled with a stern, almost regal confidence.
"You heard me," the girl snapped. "Stand down."
"Who are you?" Morgan asked.
"Morgan," Ramirez said. "Dresden was telling the truth. This is Captain Lucio."
"No,"
Morgan said, shaking his head, but his voice lacked his usual absolute conviction.
"No, it's a lie."
"It's no lie," Ramirez said. "I soulgazed her. It's the captain."
Morgan's lips worked soundlessly, but he didn't release the strike he held ready in his hand.
"Morgan," the girl said, quietly this time, "it's all right. Stand down."
"You aren't the captain," Morgan mumbled. "You can't be. It's a trick."
The girl, Lucio, abruptly put on a lopsided smile.
"Donald," she said, "dear idiot, I'm the one who trained you. I am fairly certain that you do not know as much as I do about who I am."
Lucio lifted her arm and showed Morgan the silver rapier she'd carried before. She took it in her hand and whipped it in a circle, eliciting a steady humming power as I'd felt before.
"There, could another so employ my own blade?"
Morgan stared at her for a moment. Then his hand dropped, suddenly limp, the power he'd held draining away. My heart started beating again, and I leaned heavily against Sue's flank. Ramirez holstered his gun and helped the new Lucio over to Morgan's side, then lowered her gently to the ground beside him.
"You're hurt," Morgan said. His own face had gone white with pain. "How bad is it?"
Lucio tried a small smile.
"I'm afraid I aimed too well. The wound has done for me. It may take some time, that's all."
"My God," Morgan said. "I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I saw Dresden shoot you and, while you were bleeding, needed help."
Lucio raised a weak hand.
"No time," she said gently.
Ramirez had bent over Morgan, meanwhile, and was examining the gunshot wound. The bullet had caught Morgan in the back of one leg, and it looked messy.
"Damn it," Ramirez said. "It hit his knee. It's shattered."
He placed his fingers lightly over Morgan's knee, and the older warden abruptly twisted in pain, his face gone bloodless.
"He can't walk."
Lucio nodded.
"Then it's up to you."
She looked over at me.
"And you, Warden Dresden."
"What about Kowalski?" I said.
Ramirez paled. He glanced back at the apartment building and shook his head.
"He was sitting on the floor when the specters rose out of it. He never had a chance."
"No time," Lucio said weakly. "You must go."
Butters came marching over to us, drum still beating, his face pale.
"Okay," he said. "I'm ready. Let's do it."
"Not you, Butters," I said. "Sue just needs to be able to hear the drum. She'll hear it over there just as well as if you were on her back. I want you to stay here."
"But
I can't afford to spare effort to protect you," I told him. "And I don't want to leave the wounded here alone. Just keep the drum beating."
"But I want to go with you. I want to help. I'm not afraid to,"
he swallowed, face pale,
"die fighting beside you."
"Look at it this way," I said. "If we blow it, you get to die anyhow." Butters stared at me for a second and then said, "Gee, now I feel better." "I believe that there's a cloud for every silver lining," I said. "Come on, Ramirez." Ramirez's grin returned. "Everyone else who lets me ride on their dinosaur calls me Carlos." I climbed back up into the first saddle and Ramirez settled into the second.
"God be with you, Harry,"
Butters said, marching in place on the ground, his face worried. Given whom I had chosen as my ally, I sort of doubted that if God went with me, it would be to assist me. "I'll take whatever help I can get," I said aloud, and laid my hand on Sue's hide. She lurched up from her crouch, and I turned her toward the site of the vortex.